Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre, episode 111, and it's a Monday, and so October 1st, 2018. I am Nard.
And I'm Ray, and Halloween's here. Yay!
Yay! Well, it's almost Halloween, and it's, yesterday was the, what is it, 21st is the first day of fall, is that right?
Something like that. We have not seen that weather here yet, really.
Nope, still warm. It's getting a little cooler.
And still raining.
Still raining, so that kind of sucks. Thank God there are no hurricanes this year. So
knock on wood.
Is there still a chance to have a hurricane even if it's
October? Oh yeah, all the way through the end of November.
Okay. It's hope there's not anymore. Okay, let's do some weekend updates, Ray. So, Mike came over this weekend, and he is happy that. Ohio State University won the game yesterday. Last weekend, Saturday, for against Penn State. He's happy about that.
Yeah.
And we went to the pool party. We missed you at the pool party.
Well, y'all drug in late. I mean, we were there at like 3 o'clock and left at 4:30. So
if the party is 3 o'clock, if it's a gay party, you arrive at 4.
No, I got stuff to do. I can't be all gay late bullshit.
Gay.
I had a schedule.
You had a schedule. Well, I would have gone. Yeah. Mike decided let's just leave at 3. So I didn't know y'all are gonna be leaving early. But it was fun. You got to see a lot of friends. We didn't swim at all though.
We didn't either.
Yeah, we just hung out and everything. We ate food and I tried to be healthy, like eating fruits and I didn't eat really really bad food, but I think I did, but. They had some cake balls. Did you eat at all?
Yeah, we ate some snack. I liked that was guys or Casper, whatever you call him, balls.
Casper, I liked his balls.
Yeah, I liked his white chocolate Oreo balls.
Oh, you should have tried the chocolate covered. It's a ball. Also, it's a cake ball, but it's a peanut butter one. Oh my god!
Yeah, I'm not a big peanut butter fan like that.
Oh really?
But I like the chocolate Oreos ones. Yes, they were very good.
Oh yeah. So yeah,
those big salty balls.
Just well, you missed my egg rolls. I brought some lumpia there. Mm-hmm. That's what
Didn't
I
bring thinking. Any over here.
No, it was devoured in 10 minutes. It's gone. Everybody ate it. So that was a hit. Pretty good. All right, so what else happened? So we passed by your place and
and I had people over. We played Game of Thrones Clue.
Mm-hmm.
And then we played Canasta and Tamo won.
Oh, Tamo won!
Yeah, he beat Julio.
Nice.
And then Sunday we got up and went to the church bazaar down in South Houston, and that was pretty interesting.
Why? What is it? What makes it, Mike? What makes a church bazaar interesting?
I'm not Mike. My name's Ray.
Oh, sorry, Ray.
Mike's your husband. He's the other fan here.
Did I see Mike again?
He has the bald head. I'm one that still has a little hair on my head. So.
Sorry.
No, it was just fun to go down there. Timo's aunt and grandma and them are all involved in the thing. And they sell drinks. And grandma runs to jail where they go and grab kids and lock them up. And they have to pay $1 to get out.
Oh, I know that. We used to do that. Yeah, going to jail kind of thing. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I texted a mutual friend of ours and said, oh my God, all the hot jail bait down here. And he texted me back, said, don't worry, the other priest has already got them.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I was like, those damn Pinoys. This priest down there is a Pinoy.
Oh, that's right. I remember the Pinoy. The Pinoy priest.
Father Maynard.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's actually Father Maynard. How bizarre is that? Spelled the same way too, right? With an E?
I think so.
Yeah, I would imagine. Okay, so, Ray, I should really congratulate you for a very, very good job on pork belly. Oh, my God. That was really, really good.
You like my pork belly?
I love the pork belly.
I was good. It turned out good, too. Next time, I'll have to figure out how to roast it so it gets kind of crackling and crispy.
Oh, you decided not to make it crispy, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just did the whole braising and the beer and stuff, so.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's really, really good. Yep.
Well, I'm glad you liked it. Oh. What did you think about the Korean kimchi bok choy?
Oh yes, that's excellent too. Yeah, because I love bok choy. However, it's cooked, it's really good.
Yep.
So yeah, that's pretty good too.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Okay, so let's go.
I got the Asian seal of approval on my cooking.
That's right. That's right. You're now Asian by injection. Okay, so ingestion. Okay, so ingestion, yeah. Let's go to our stories now, Ray. This one's yours. Oh. It's all gay. Oh my God, it's all gay.
Okay, yeah. Okay, Frank Oz endorses gay Bert and Ernie. Writer Mark Salzman reacts.
See, they are gay.
So, you know, last week, Mark Salzman, who was one of the writers on Sesame Street, said that they wrote Bert and Ernie as a gay couple, even though Frank Oz and the others said that they were not gay. So, now, here we are. The world still quivers in aftershocks from Quirity's exclusive interview with former Sesame Street writer Mark Salzman, in which he outed iconic puppets Bert and Ernie as a gay couple. The news made international headlines, inviting an outpouring of reaction on social media and became the subject of countless and often hilarious internet memes. Now Frank Oz, the legendary puppeteer who originated Bert, along with characters like Miss Piggy, Cookie Monster, Animal, and Yoda, has released a new statement via Twitter, endorsing the sentiment, and discussing how much he's learned from the followers who talk about Bert and Ernie as a couple. And this is from Frank Oz's Twitter feed. At last thought, if Jim and I had created Bert and Ernie as gay characters, they would have been inauthentic coming from two straight men. However, I have now learned that many view them as a representative of a loving gay relationship, and that's pretty wonderful. Thanks for helping me understand. And that was on September the 27th. He goes on to address a few specific questions about straight men creating authentic gay characters. I feel there have been many
subtleties
and nuances that I would miss if I were to attempt it. He elaborates that the issue isn't straight men creating gay characters. It's that he personally believes he couldn't have created an authentic gay character at the time. Oz also addressed Salzman directly in an attempt to dial back his perceived negative reaction to Bert and Ernie's outing. I hope Mr. Salzman doesn't feel my comment was directed towards him. My comment was directed toward the question. He sounds like a caring person. He never said Bert and Ernie were gay, but when others took that leap from his interview, I felt I had to question the need for the question. Frank Oz.
Mm-hmm.
It seems Mark Salzman was asked if Bert and Ernie are gay. It's fine that he feels they are. They're not, of course, but why that question? Does it really matter? Why the need to define people as only gay? There's much more to a human being than just straightness or gayness. And that was the response to it. So, Quirity also reached out to Salzman for further comment regarding the matter. Frank Oz, the director of In-N-Out, has always been a gay ally, Salzman asserts. The fact that he stumbled in a tweet is no indication of homophobia. I hope he now joins us with pushing for gay characters on Sesame Street and in the rest of the children's media. I got my laptop open and ready to begin writing the scripts. For me personally and the people close to me, this whole are they, aren't they sugar storm has really not been about outing Bert and Ernie, but remembering Mark and Arnie, who's the two people he based the characters off.
Oh,
of.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's look at this. So not when I was young. I've always watched, Sesame Street, and I loved it. I mean, I grew up with it, too. Maybe you did, too, Ray. And I've always thought of them as good friends. When I was young, I never thought of them to be a gay couple. I've always thought that they're just good friends who just so happen to sleep in the same room with two separate beds.
Well, I always thought they were like a 50s gay couple, and it was like the subtext was there.
Mm. Okay.
So
you always thought they were gay then?
But I don't think a lot of people understand how expensive rent is in New York and how many people you can cram into a bedroom in New York and rent an apartment out to.
Yeah. Interesting, though. But, as the years go by, though, and seeing their interaction, they really are like a gay couple sometimes.
Yeah, like old ornery gay couples.
Yeah, that's right.
In fact, I think, on the Muppet Show, the two old dirty men that sit up there and heckle everybody.
Yeah.
I think that's Bert and Ernie when they get old.
Yeah, and they're probably gay too. I don't think that's ever been depicted. But two gay guys they always make comments.
Yeah,
on the balcony or something, or the mezzanine.
Yeah.
Whenever they watch a Muppet Show, I think maybe they're gay too. Anyway, so you grew up having a see, knowing a knowing to yourself that gay Bert and Ernie are gay, and
well, I mean, when I was a kid, I didn't pay any attention to it, but as I got older, I was like, oh my god, that's a very gay couple.
And then you realize, yeah, they are gay. Okay, but then So let's talk about really quick about their equivalent in Avenue Q, though. So one of the characters there is Rod and Nikki. And they are actually looking, they look like Bert and Ernie. And they actually look like that. But, and the character of, the character Rod, he's gay. He's actually gay. And love musicals of the 1940s, something like that. And then, but then Rod is very straight, walking around and everything. So he is straight. That was interesting. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I think when Avenue Q took it, they really went forward with making him gay anyway, making one of the characters gay. But anyway,
I just figured out how they can introduce gays on Sesame Street.
How?
Sesame Street can take a trip to Folsom Street, and Bert and Ernie gets lost there, and the next thing you know, you see them walking out in full leather.
Oh yeah, I can't imagine Bert wearing leather. It's kind of disturbing.
Better than Beaker.
Yeah. I would rather have Bert wearing leather than Beaker. Ooh, I remember a member of the of a Houston group before who looked like Beaker. Anyway, I'm sorry. I had to bring that up. Okay, so I guess what do you guys think? Listener, you can call in or you can email us back. Tell us what you think about Bert and Ernie being gay. Did you grow up thinking they were gay? And so do you think that they were gay only when you were older? Anyway, so that's kind of interesting. All right, let's go to the geek ray. The geek here is about Japan landing on an asteroid. So have you been hearing about this story?
Yeah, I heard they landed.
Yeah, they landed.
And they sent pictures back, and everybody was joking about, oh, those are the best... what's his name? The one that directed Star Wars.
Oh, George Star Lucas. Trek. Oh, wait. Gene Roddenberry. J.J.
Abrams. J.J.
Abrams.
They're like, best J.J. Abrams glare effects ever.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you see the video that they shared?
Yep, I saw that a little bit. Pretty short. Yeah. Okay, so the Hayabusa 2 rovers just made a movie on the surface of an asteroid. Yeah, interesting. So they were able to make a video out of it. So Japan's Minerva 2 rovers have sent back a batch of new photos from Ryugu, including a stunning new video taken from the asteroid's rocky surface. The 15-frame video was captured by Minerva II, also known as Rover 1B, on September 23, the same day that it and its companion Minerva 2-1. I guess Minerva 2-1? Minerva 2-2, okay. Landed on Ryugu on an asteroid located 174 million miles, or that's 280 million kilometers from Earth. The rovers were dispatched by Japan's Hayabusa 2 space probe, which arrived in orbit around the asteroid back in June. So Minerva 2 stands for Micro Nano Experimental Robot Vehicle for Asteroid. Nice. The second generation. So that's the first generation, being Minerva from JAXA's first Hayabusa mission. So the short clip shows Ryugu's gray, dusty, and uninviting rock-strewn surface. The sun can be seen drifting brightly from left to right as the asteroid tumbles through space. A sexy lens flare. Yes, you're right, Ray. Adds to the dramatic effect of seeing this truly alien world through the eyes of Minerva 2, II's camera, of which it has three, or Minerva 2i has only one. So interesting that they were able to send in videos and pictures. So how far is it again?
174 million miles.
Oh my God, they were able to do that. And
that's a road trip now.
Oh yeah. I mean, probably a few road trips around the Earth many thousands of times. So yeah, it's interesting that they have a rover there and are able to send pictures and videos. Pics and vids, please. So that's a goner, though. Do you have to consider those machines, those rovers, yeah. those robots, as a lost cause. They're going
to
be...
Well, yeah, I mean, they were designed to be lost, but I'm sure they're there and they're going to take samples and take videos and send data back for a long time.
Yeah, that's what they're going to do. It'd be interesting to, if they ever... What if they were able to direct that asteroid to come to Earth?
Well, one, there, I don't think they have that kind of propulsion system. I think they'd take a lot of energy to change that.
Well, I'm just...
And I don't know if I really want another asteroid flying towards Earth.
Yeah, that's true. But it's good that they're able to...
Maybe one day they can slow one down and put it in orbit around Earth to mine minerals and stuff off of. But we'll see.
So imagine that if you get a hold of these asteroids, they come into the atmosphere and you actually get to mine them. And... Uh-huh. That's practically adding mass to the Earth, because it's a mass, it's a big rock or a mass from the outside. Yeah. Hopefully they have metal and some gases and some, I don't know about the, about liquids,
very ore rich with stuff, mineral rich with stuff. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Probably got diamonds and gold and everything else. So
mm-hmm. Interesting. It's good for them. They're able to land on a actual object that is orbiting or just floating around.
Space. That's moving.
That is moving. Yeah.
That is moving and rolling and twisting, so that's quite an achievement to do that.
That's true. That's right. Good for the Japanese.
Especially 174 million miles away.
Yeah. So. Can you imagine that? All right, let's go to the cockroach story, Ray, for Bizarre.
Okay. Florida man finds cockroach in his Burger King Whopper.
Burger King.
Whopper. Panama City, Florida. A Burger King you are supposed to get it your way, but that's not what a Florida man said happened when he took a bite into his Whopper. I was pretty upset, as you can imagine. I heaved a little bit, said Brian Garman.
I would too.
The hum of the Whopper was home to something far less appetizing. Brian Garman said he went through the drive-thru of a Burger King in Lindsby on the... in 15th Street in Panama City before he met up with some friends at a nearby comic shop. I was going in for probably my third or fourth bite, and I caught something out of the side of my eye. About the time I got to here, I looked down, and right next to my mouth was what was left of this cockroach.
So
he took pictures of the dead cockroach and called the manager. If there were roaches in the food line, I don't want anyone to get sick or have one in their food, said Garman. He said the manager then put him in touch with their district trainer. They were very apologetic, very sorry, and they said they were going to have their corporate or insurance company contact me, and unfortunately, they never did, said Garman. While he waited for their call, they offered him a refund. They offered me a replacement meal, but unfortunately, that's not something I'm interested in, said Garman. Garman collected his refund of about $8, but wants more to be done. I just don't feel their corporate office is taking it seriously, says Garman. Burger King issued a statement saying, "We prepare our food with care and take complaints like this seriously. We understand that as soon as this matter was raised, the manager of this location apologized to the guests and offered them a new meal." Excuse me. "We can confirm this is an isolated incident where we are working with the franchise who owns and operates this location, as well as our supplier, to ensure our high standards for food safety and operations are being followed." Burger King Media Relations. Now, I can tell y'all, from working in fast food or pretty much working in restaurants, there's going to be bugs, regardless of how much you spray what you do. And sometimes they just get in the food. But usually if they're getting in the food, they're so bad, something should have been done.
Yep. So have you experienced that? Usually hairs, but not bugs.
Well, no, I got a roach in my food because there used to be a Piccadilly cafeteria over on Northline.
Ugh.
On Northline Mall. And I used to go over there because I always went to Piccadilly with my grandparents, and I love the food. So one day there, I was sitting there, and I ordered me some chicken and dumplings because they make really good chicken and dumplings. And I was eating them, and I picked up my spoon, and there was a dead roach that had been cooked into the chicken and dumplings.
Ugh.
I took it to the manager and said, "Y'all got some issues." And I walked out, and I never went back. And a few months later, the place closed down.
Wow.
So
maybe because of your report. Maybe.
I doubt it. I think it was bad.
It was going down.
I mean, like I said, when you see the bugs in the food, it's pretty bad because that means they're crawling around and dropping onto stuff. So
yeah,
I mean, it's one thing to have one or two running around on the floor or something, but when they start ended up in the food, that means they're crawling up on stuff. And
yep,
so
it's really scary. So yeah, I've never really experienced a bug problem on the food or even a frog or anything. But usually, I remember just seeing hair. that's kind of gross too, but I would stop eating it, but no bugs. I haven't seen it yet.
Well, you know, I had that one time I went to a bar and was drinking, and next thing I knew, I had a dick fell in my mouth. That, you know.
Oh, wow. That's different,
That's happened before. That was really, you know, interesting.
Wow, so. That's when you got home, right? Oh, my gosh. That is so scary.
That's when I was like, they wouldn't take it out, so I couldn't, you know.
Did you get
tell
a
them to stop?
Did you get a refund? Oh, it was just paid in full.
No, they just gave me a deposit.
Oh, look at you! Oh, nasty. All right, so I guess that's our show for the week. So. Special thanks to Caesar for the great articles on Facebook. That's facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@gaygeekbizarre.com.
Or call and leave us a voicemail at 281-947-2327. That's 281-947-2327. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio.
Yes, and go to the official website at gaygeekbizarre.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll catch you guys on the next show. Bye.
Bye.